gathering with us Thursdays right here. LandryFootball.com. Post your questions on Twitter if you have any for Chris. We'll pass them along. First off, Chris, good morning to you, and let's hear your takeaway from what you saw Monday night.
Well, it was the game that I thought I was going to see in the conference championship game, so it was a little bit puzzling, more puzzling or more surprising what I saw in the conference championship game. This was more of what I saw Georgia play all year long. I do believe Georgia won this game from that time frame after the conference championship game up until the preparation for Michigan. Because I do think they, A, were in better condition, football condition, with regard to being able to play four quarters, which they didn't have to play a lot of this past year in finishing games. I thought they simplified the defensive game plan. They played very fast, very loose. And the biggest factor, the key to the game going in and coming out, was their ability to move Bryce Young off his mark. And they did that very well. They did a great job with their pressure packages and didn't allow any sustained consistency in the passing game for Alabama. Did a great job with the run, as they usually do. They're so fast to the football, and, you know, it was just a dominant performance there, and obviously given the offense enough chances to make pivotal plays, playing in a close game, in a one possession type game most of the game, allowed them to run their offense through the run game. So they were able to, you know, set the defense up with the run game, the commitment to the run, which is what they do. So they never got out of their game plan, which they had to get out of their game plan in the conference championship game. So, you know, I thought all year long Georgia looked like the best team, but, you know, that's not enough. You've got to be there when it matters the most, and it wasn't there in the conference championship game, and it cost them a conference championship. But in some respects, maybe it brought some things to light internally amongst the players and the coaches that maybe spur them on to a better performance and preparation in the national championship game. I thought Alabama did a tremendous job. I just kept, you know, thinking, can't believe that Nick's going to win the national championship with this team that, by Alabama standards, is just not what I'd call Alabama good. I mean, it's good. It's national playoff good. It's better than – but, I mean, you're talking about subpar right side of the offensive line. You've got in Robinson a good back, but you don't have the depth and the quality and the number. You've down two receivers, you know, I know due to injuries, but that on top of losing some of the greatest receivers you can ever have, losing a couple. I mean, it just looked like, man, this is one heck of a job getting it done in the conference championship game, and thinking, man, they had a chance to win that in a year where this is kind of not their year. Was really impressive. On the other side, it just felt like that this was a Georgia team that was built to win this year with so many veteran leadership guys that were, you know, your best players or your best leaders. That's usually when it kind of all turns together for you, which is making the conference championship game that much more perplexing that how it played out that way. But they certainly got it done when it mattered the most. And I'm happy for that program. I admire programs that are consistently great and not just, you know, here, up and down. And to me, those are more impressive even when you don't win at all. But to be able to kind of finish it off is something that is a big monkey off their back, and maybe they can, you know, play with a lot more looseness and freedom and aggressiveness. But they're going to be in the mix for a long time, Georgia will, because they have that type of a program that recruits like it. They coach very well, too. That defense is so well coached, in addition to being very, very talented. Not everybody, it's not just throw guys out there and they're going to make plays for you and be great. That's not the case. There's some other defenses around the country that are very, very talented that don't play nearly as well. Georgia's got both.
Stetson Bennett says he wants to play another year. How does Georgia handle this with all those quarterback stars in the quarterback room?
It'll be interesting. I think he said it to put the pressure or put the onus on the coaching staff, because it's saying, I'd like to play another year. And I understand the kid. This is his last, you know, bite at football. And if he's got another year, it's going to be in college. And, you know, so, yeah, it does put Georgia in a situation, because now the – you know, and you can't succumb to public or media pressure, but it's going to be, you're going to do that kid, and he's the guy that led you in first for 41 years, and he's one of our own, and all that kind of stuff. So it puts them, so to answer your question, how do you handle it? Delicately. I mean, I think you have to be respectful. You have to understand that, you know, he did his part, and then some. Which you also have to look at, and this is just free advice, that you're going to have to replace a lot on your defense. So the team that's carried by your defense and is all set up by your defense, are you going to be so dominant on that side of the ball that you can do what you did this past year? Or are you going to need more with just your offense going out and winning? People get confused. People look at the point totals and think, well, the offense is great. The offense is great because how the defense sets things up and how the defense allows the offense to run it through the play-action-based system, which branches out into a lot of different things that Todd Monken likes to do. But if Georgia, to me, this next year potentially could be, with guys coming back, they're setting up to be a more explosive offensive team and may have to be more reliant on that. I mean, the defense will be good, but it, you know, won't be last year good, personnel-wise anyway. And so you wonder, can Stetson play that role? Or do you want to convince him that it'll never be any better for you, young man, than right now? And then what do you do if you're him? How do you go from Georgia, your school that you grew up, winning the national championship, and go play for – fill in the blank? That's going to be really weird, because it's just, you see guys leave, but this guy in this moment with this storyline to go, it's going to be very, very unusual. I don't know how it's going to play out because of such the unusual nature of it.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Chris. Let's assume, just for sake of conversation, Stetson Bennett goes somewhere else. I mean, it's not going to be anything like he's used to.
Oh, of course
with all not. The bodyguards he had. I mean,
well, and he's not going to look at it this way, and no one should look at it this way, but everybody will look at it this way. He goes to, I don't know, fill in the blank, and he's not someone that, you know, a lot of the powers are going to say, oh, yeah, we got to have some of that. You know, it's not that type of guy. So, I mean, where does he go? And he goes somewhere where he's kind of off the radar. And, you know, I mean, is that what he really wants to do? I mean, I think what he's trying to say is he wants to stay. And,
right.
Look, I mean, it's difficult, but the inference is going to have to be, you asked me, what do you do? I mean, what I would do is, look, if you want to stay, we'd love to have you. But, you know, what you did last year earned a lot of respect from everybody here in this building. And, you know, but as we go forward, you know, like anybody else, you're going to have to earn the starting spot again next year. And it's not, well, you won it last year, you automatically get the job this year. It's different. Not Bryce Young, Bryce Young has to earn his starting spot next year too, but he's pretty much done that and kind of proven that he's likely going to do it. There is a possibility, I mean, it's a possibility that, you know, throw everybody in the mix those more talented guys don't get it done, could he be starting for him next year? Possibly, but he'll have to earn that. And, you know, like he's had to earn it to every step to this point, that will continue. I mean, you always have to earn it, but guys with more talent, you're more inclined to work with them, and because you know what the upside is, you know what you got at the end of the workday with them. Worth with Stetson, you've got a lower ceiling, and you know. But in terms of a playmaker, a leader, and all those things, you can't get any better than this young man. So I would say, look, if you want to play, love to have you here. But you know, if you're, you know, and you wouldn't, I wouldn't say it this way, but you know, I'll say it this way here is, if you're thinking it's, you know, now it's yours and, you know, you got to go out and earn it again. If that's not good for you, then, you know, I mean, that's the way it's going to be here. Everybody's going to have to earn it. And again, everybody has to earn it at every position, but certain people are in better position to earn it year in and year out. The reality is he earned it. That says maybe a little bit about the health of other guys and the consistency of other guys, and he deserved it, but you know, there are other guys that are going to have that chance to earn that job, and very likely with next year's team may be the guy that they turn to. And it would be probably, talk about being weird, how weird would it be if he's the backup quarterback next year? I mean, you know, you need those guys too, but is that going to be the mop-up role that he's going to want after Monday night? It's just a weird situation.
Chris, I was going to say, game one, Georgia, TV. He's standing there on the sideline. They're panning to him about 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, and it's maybe, awkward. Maybe it's awkward as hell.
Wearing a championship ring instead of in the clipboard.
All right. More Chris Landry and your questions as we continue. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of this information. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's finally looking a little bit better on 65 southbound down through Williamson County over here in Brentwood from that earlier wreck just past OHB. They continue to work that accident where a pedestrian was hit earlier on Demubrium at 13th. Traffic's building in the normal spots now. 24 coming in from Rutherford County. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. They have other flavors. Check them all out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of game day. And if you win, they even get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code WNSR so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Wait a minute. I've heard that before. That's the note Jeremy wrote to me in my yearbook in the sixth grade. How'd you even know that?
Because it's from Geico.
Yeah, wait, here it is. Dear Luke, have a great summer. P.S. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. Love, Jeremy.
Geico's had this tagline for years, because we help save people money.
So wait, you're saying Jeremy copied you? Yeah, that actually does sound like something the J-Man would do.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and lots of news coming out of Kolick Racing, Stewart Haas Racing. Plus, we hear from driver Joey Logano and that next-gen NASCAR race car. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with us. I'll equip a bomb. Bill asked Chris about Penn State regarding the quarterback situation. Do you bring back, he asks, 6-year Sean Clifford, or do you go with one of the younger quarterbacks like Christian Velu or the incoming freshman Drew Aller?
No, you bring him back. I mean, doesn't mean he earns a starting job, but one of the biggest problems you have in college football today is you don't have enough quarterbacks with experience, and you know the injury factor is significant. So if he doesn't earn the job, you'd at least like to have him on the roster for the football season. Look at what happened with A&M. You know, they lose their starting quarterback week one and or week two, and then, you know, then you've got a young guy and then a walk-on behind him. That's where your season can go completely in a downward spiral. So, yeah, you'd absolutely like him back. It doesn't mean that he's the guy that wins the job. And you know, is that the younger guys are ready and a little bit more talented and gifted, but doesn't mean that they're going to win the job. But yeah, you'd love to, and you really need to have three good quality scholarship quarterbacks on your roster. You just have to. It's important to be able to run practice correctly. It's imperative that you have options to go to when your starting quarterback goes down. Whether it's for a few weeks or an entire season, it can ruin your season.
You know, and Chris, the other thing is, and not that quarterbacks transferring is new. I mean, they've been doing it forever. But the volume is newer to us in today's society.
Absolutely.
It's really hard to keep three in a room happy.
No, in fact, here's what has to happen. It used to be that you got to hit on them. Now you have to stagger them.
Right.
I mean, the best way to really do it, in a perfect world, is, you know, you got, you know, first of all, they don't stay to their senior year, which quarterbacks used to always do that. When other positions were coming out, quarterbacks stayed that extra year. It doesn't even happen anymore. You got to have that, but then you have to have, it's almost like you always wanted to have at least a couple in a close class in case one of them didn't work out. Now you can't have them in the same class or maybe even within 1 year apart, because if they both work out, well, then definitely one of them's leaving. And then you got situations where guys don't pan out and they leave, even if they've got ties to their program. You know, he's a generational guy or whatever. So you almost have to have the young guy coming in that might be willing to wait and learn for 1 year and then hits his time, while the other guy comes in and finishes up his junior year and he goes out early. I mean, and it's tough to stagger it that way. I mean, it really is. And then if you don't hit on guys, meaning a guy just doesn't develop, you've misevaluated him, well then, boom, then the one guy goes down and you got nothing because you haven't been able to stack your depth chart like you normally do, because as you mentioned, quarterbacks, you can play multiple guys at other positions, but a quarterback, it's just a different breed.
Jim and Jupiter wants your thoughts on the transfers that Florida State has taken in. I think we were talking early, it's 9 or 10 so far.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Winston Wright can help them. The linebacker, Bethune, can help them. Span, I think, can help them. Vance, the corner, I think, could, you know, help. They've got some receivers that can really help them. The Wilson kid, too. You know, it's a good group. Here's what you want, though, is you want to get to the transfer portals are great to fill in need spots. It truly, truly is very, very similar to NFL free agency. Everybody gets excited about NFL free agency. What NFL free agency is when you haven't drafted very well and developed well or manage your cap well, and you have to fill in needs with basically players that didn't quite make it at their other place. There are exceptions to that, but for the most part, that's the case. So they don't want to re-sign you, but we're going to give you, well, they got too much money. Okay, but there are different reasons. Same thing in college. Most of the guys that are leaving, most of them, not all, most of them are leaving because they couldn't quite crack the starting lineup. Now, how does Jameson Williams not crack the starting lineup, even as great as that wide receiver room? That just is a credit to the receiver room, but you can find those guys. But for the most part, there's a reason why maybe somebody doesn't crack it. Maybe it's because they really were good and they didn't get the chance and they weren't patient enough. Well, they're not patient enough. They're going to be patient enough with you. So my point is it's great to have that resource to go to fill in needs, but what you ideally want to have is more consistent and stable recruiting classes that you have less and less needs that you have to plug into.
Will in Northwest Arkansas is a big Sooner fan. Ask Chris about his thoughts on Venables' staff at Oklahoma.
You know, I think he's done a really nice job. I think it might be the most – one of the most interesting things, and I haven't had a chance to drill down into it, and it'll take time, but I want to talk to Brent. I don't know if he will share all the details with me, but I'm curious what the philosophical approach is going to be overall.
I do, too.
With Jeff Levy.
Yeah.
Because Jeff is I'm going to run fast pace, 90 snaps, you know, that's – and he brought the tempo to Lane's offense because – Jeff comes from the Art Briles, you know, we're going to run it a million times. Okay, well, I'm thinking Brent is going to say, look, we want to run tempo at times, but we're going to want to slow down the tempo and be really a good four-minute offense so that our defense can be great. I have no doubt that Brent will recruit and develop and have his defense play like their hair's on fire because that's what he does. And you can recruit at Oklahoma like he recruited at Clemson. I always said there's no reason why Oklahoma couldn't have been Clemson in the Big 12. I mean, they were. They dominated the Big 12, really, but they didn't have the success in the playoffs that Clemson did. And that's because they didn't have basically, Lincoln did not put enough attention in practice and in recruiting on defense. Brent will do that. But it's not just about a defensive play caller or defensive talent. That's, of course, important. But your style of play on offense is going to be key. So how that's going to mesh, and I'm guessing, I mean, I know that conversation was had before the hire. I just don't know what it is. Haven't had time to drill into it. But that's fascinating to me because I think if he does that like I think he's going to do it, they should be better positioned going into the SEC than even with Lincoln, where I think that, you know, he was running a version of a scheme. It's not the offensive scheme. People say, well, he's a great offense, and well, let somebody else fix the defense. No, the head coach is going to determine how you do it on both sides, and that was, to me, a problem, and I think Lincoln will do great at USC, but I think Brent has a chance to do some really good things at Oklahoma going forward, but but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. Should work well, but I don't know.
John in Alabama, Bill asked Chris about Alabama's quarterback, Paul Tyson, Bears' great-grandson, entering the transfer portal. Is he a D1 quarterback, Chris?
I mean, I think he'll get a chance to go play somewhere. I think he's, I don't know what the young man's, what he's looking for. And,
right.
You know, obviously he's unique. But, I don't want to just throw out any names because I don't know any. But if he wants to play, and I think he could absolutely start at a Conference USA level, a Sun Belt level, and that's not a knock. I mean, I think the kid can definitely do that. I don't see him like, boy, this guy's going to go, and, could he play and be in the mix, say, to compete at an SEC school for maybe a backup role? And do I feel comfortable that he's going to win a starting role at an SEC? I do not, but I think the kid does have some ability to play somewhere. I wasn't sure. I thought he was going to be one of those guys that'll say, I'm going to be at Alabama if I got to, carry the water out to the practice and be the eighth team quarterback. And I didn't know if he was going to be that type of guy that was, this tells me that he really wants to play and excuse me, but in comparatively speaking to what they have and what they've recruited, and you're talking about staggering, they've done that very well at Alabama. Other than, working hard and being a guy that can be a backup and, obviously have a role and an opportunity, I think everything is good there because they gave him the chance. And the reality is he's just not to the level, certainly not of what Alabama's looking for at quarterback.
Aliquippa Bob brings.
By the way, his one guy on that list, we talked about this before, how, this is the time of year some of the elite programs send guys into the portal. There's one guy in that portal that I thought that Alabama let go. There's one guy that I thought was worth saving. And obviously they didn't because apparently, whatever. But think about that. We talk about that. Well, the portal was this. They pushed every one of those guys into the portal with maybe one exception. I haven't checked on the story. There's one guy I think that's worth saving. The others, it's like they either misevaluated or those guys just didn't develop for whatever reason. And so now they're going to use those scholarships to go back and try it again. We've talked about that before. And
yeah,
you knew that was going to happen. And the timing of it was because their season ended Monday, of course.
So you just gave Nick another angle to clean up roster issues.
Yes. Yeah. And everyone else, but
sure.
Specifically to them, that's what they do. Every one of those guys are guys that just didn't pan out. And so we're going to take those scholarships and maybe we'll plug in, some transfer guys, use the scholarships, great year. There's a lot of things you can do. That's the way it is.
Aliquippa Bob brings this up, and I'm glad he did. I wasn't thinking about it. The A&M story or rumor or however we term it about how much this incoming number one ranked class is getting. Do we know what the truth is when we're separating fact and fiction here?
No, but I can tell you that that's a largely exaggerated amount. That's not even close to that. First of all, no one's going to know because it's not regulated. It's not organized. We've discussed that. It's not like an NFL salary cap where that story has been debunked and not even close. There will be money made and lots of money in a lot of programs that are put in place already are, but no, it's not. That's not even close. Not even halfway true.
Good. Got a couple more here before we wrap it up. Tennessee Insurance Dog asked Chris what he thinks about George Pickens. Should he stay or go?
Well, look, football reasons-wise, I'd like to see him stay. He needs more production, needs more development. Personally, these kids sometimes, particularly ones that have had injuries, say, look, I maybe can improve my draft stock, but I want to, If I'm going to take risks, I'm going to go and I'm going to play Pro Bowl. That's where we are. All NIL in transfer portal does, I'm not trying to be negative. I've accepted that's where we are. But all NIL in all transfer portal does is puts more of the emphasis on what's going to benefit me, the player. Not for him, football-wise, I tell guys all the time, from a football developmental standpoint, you're better off in college. You better be developed before you get in the NFL because they're not going to be as patient, you know, with your talent because they got a guy just as good that they can turn to, develop in college. But a lot of guys, personal reasons, want to go, and I don't criticize it because it's their personal decision. I just want to make sure that they're armed with the right information and not what Uncle Joe tells them that they're going to be ranked. And I just think he has a real opportunity to go. Now, the other thing is, I'm curious to see overall, not with George, but others, is will any guys be willing to say, look, I can see that playing another year might help my development. And I've got an NIL deal that, you know, not paying me NFL money, but, you know, it makes it a little bit more enticing to stay. Is that going to have an effect? We don't know because we don't have NIL is just in place. We don't have any way to study the effects of NIL because it's just happening. We'll have that a few years down the road. So I'm curious to see how he and others take a look at it. But it is something I would be doing if I were, you know, recommend a college. I'd say, look, try to make this worth their while to stay. Now, if you're a first-round pick, Bill, I mean, you're not going to turn out first-round NFL money to go for an NIL deal. But you know what? If you're going to be a fourth-rounder and you got a chance to improve your stock maybe by two rounds and you can get NIL money, I don't know how you might consider that.
Chris, we're leaving some questions here on the cutting room floor. We'll get to them next time. Chris Landry with us. Tell everybody how they can get all your content, Chris.
LandryFootball.com. We've got all the details in our notebooks of all this transfer portal stuff. Learn about the players. Learn what you're getting, how good they are, whether they're going to have an impact. All the coaching search stuff on the NFL, all the previews of the NFL games, all the recruiting, all the draft stuff, one-stop shopping, LandryFootball.com.
Chris, your voice,
holiday saving sale.
Your voice is cracking up like mine, man. Maybe you got this over the airwaves.
Yeah, I know. It went out yesterday. I didn't think I'd be able to do the show today, but it was a little better this morning. So,
see you next week, man.
Thank you.